We have two scripture readings this morning. I will read the first, and it comes from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, and then Polly will read Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Listen for how both of these scripture readings have to do with hope. From the book of Isaiah, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up to it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away."
And from Luke, the first chapter, verses 39 through 45, hear the word of the Lord. "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.'" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Two scriptures, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. They both lift up to us the theme for today, which is hope. All I want for Christmas. Every single one of us wants hope. We hope that we can make it economically. We hope that our children will be safe and sound. We hope that this year will be better than last year. We hope that we'll receive a new job offer. We hope for many things. I've never met a person who couldn't answer this question. What are you hoping for? We all are hoping for something. And that's a sign of life, to be able to hope. God's known this all along, that we need hope. We can't exist without hope, but we really can't live without hope. The whole Bible is one continuous Acts, the God who sustains us, empowers us, and transforms us simply by giving us hope. Now, in the Old Testament reading, here's the background to this. The people of Israel are kept in captivity. They've been away from home for a very long time. Many of them wonder if they'll ever make it back home again. Life has been tough. They're away from their homeland. They're away from Jerusalem, the temple. They've lost their heritage. They are among people that are oppressive. They're basically in slavery. And as time goes on, by the way, time is a great robber of hope. Because as time goes on, it seems like it's harder and harder to hope for things to turn around. And then Isaiah received this message from the Lord, the message to declare to his people there in captivity. And you just heard it. Hey, we're going to go home. A highway is going to be prepared in such a way that there'll be no difficulty. It will be a sign of life. It will open up before us. We will leave behind the hardness of life. We will return. We'll be able to sing again. Hey, do you remember what it's like to be happy? We can begin to feel that happiness now because God has shared with us His message. We have hope. He's going to bring us home. Wow. Then in the New Testament, the basic story of hope has to do with this. And you see in the Gospel of Luke, pay attention to this. In the Gospel of Luke, some of the main characters are women. And that is astounding because back in that particular time, it was a patriarchal society. Most of the things that were said had to do with men and what they did and what they accomplished. But God's going to do something very special. And the leading characters here in this particular story are two women, Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth finds out that she's been pregnant and Mary's pregnant. And so Elizabeth goes to visit Mary. And in Elizabeth's womb, a baby jumps for joy. And then that message becomes real. God is going to do something through their children that's just awesome. Well, the little child already kicking in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptizer, he'll be the one to baptize his cousin, Jesus. And Jesus is going to be the Messiah. And here's these two women. They're both pregnant. And they're already anticipating a wonderful thing that God's going to do. Not just in them and through their family, but for the whole world. And they embrace it. And they begin to be in touch with what it's like to have hope. Because life was not easy for them either. But you know, when you're pregnant with hope, wow. You are three things. Three things happens to us when hope comes to us. The first thing is we are sustained. Some people are ready to give up. Don't give up. Stand up. The first thing that happens when God gives us a message of hope is that, well, we are sustained. We don't faint. We don't give up. We get up. It sustains us physically. Doctors so often have seen this happen to their patients. If they didn't have hope, they just simply gave up and withered. The second thing that happens when we receive that message and when we're impregnated with that hope that God gives us is that we are empowered. In other words, we're ready to get active again. And even if the promise hasn't been fulfilled, it's okay because we're willing to go to work and to act and to live as if it's already been done. It's on the way. And we are participating in the very work of God as a co-laborer with God and His kingdom. You see, not only does it sustain us to keep us from giving up, it empowers us to get going, to actually start doing something. In other words, You got two basic things you need to do in the morning. You need to get up and you need to get out. Hope gets us up and it gets us out the door. And then the third thing that hope does is it transforms us. It transforms us in that it's not just that we are persons of hope, but we become a conveyor of hope. The people who come around us sense there's something different and we become a messenger of hope to others. Persons and even environments are changed because when we walk in, we are different. We're persons of hope. That happened to Isaiah. The circumstances around him hadn't changed at all, but he had hope. And And he stood up and gives this message, and the whole nation is going to be affected because, well, Isaiah's been sustained, empowered, and transformed. And so that happens. And then these two women, sustained, empowered, and transformed. It's happened to me. Do you think there's any hope? William, there's hope. I asked my dad one time that. I was really despondent. My dad wasn't a preacher. He even said, William, you know the Bible better than I do. You're the preacher's son, not me. But there I was asking my dad, Dad, do you think there's any hope that I'll get better? I've told this story so often. When I hurt my back and I lived with pain every day for 4 years, and it wasn't just a physical thing, it was a mental thing, and it began to take over me. And you know what? It was a time in my life where I could have just given up. And my dad said, William, listen. God hasn't brought you this far along the way to leave you here. He's called you, and he will sustain you, and he will empower you, and he will transform you. My dad didn't use all these words, but that was the message I was getting. He basically looked at me, and with tears in his eyes, he said, yes, there is hope. And when I began to allow that word from my own father to penetrate into my heart, a couple days later, I got a piece of paper out, and I wrote on it these words: if not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then the next day. If not the next day, then someday. But one day I know I'm going to be well. And just having hope enabled me to get up in the mornings, get going in the mornings, and to minister to other people and to give them hope. My dad saw me lying in bed when I had not been out for several weeks. Saw me get up out of bed and go do a funeral service. He was with me that weekend. He went in the car, went to the cemetery. He saw me do a service. And then I came back. I had to get back in bed again. And my dad said, I've never seen anything like that. William, that was God helping you. And I knew it was true. You see, there's a sense of energy that comes to us. We're able to do things that we don't think we're capable of doing. Hope sustains us, empowers us, and transforms us. I know how good hope can be. Now, this past week, a person by the name of Nelson Mandela died, 95 years old. Take some time to look at his life. In 1962 in South Africa, he was arrested and put in prison, fighting against apartheid. At that time, he was militant, actually taking up weapons against the government. He was a lawyer. He had tried as many ways as possible to change an unjust system. But nonetheless, he had in his heart to do good. He was arrested. He was placed in prison in 1962. He was in prison 27 years. You see, God's got a different time schedule. 27 years. But in those 27 years, he was changed from a militant person to a peaceful person. He was changed to a person who knew within his heart that that country was going to change one day, and that he might indeed live to see it. And so after 27 years, he was released from prison, a free man. And he writes these words: as I walked out the gate led towards my freedom, I knew that if I did not bury my bitterness, I would still remain in prison. And he buried his bitterness. And then a couple years later, elected president of the country. And at his inauguration, 100,000 people there, but a front row was reserved for his jailers. They were given the seat of honor. Because you see, even during his internment, his incarceration, he had become friends with them. They had actually shared communion together when a certain chaplain came in to give communion, he said, I'll partake of communion, but I'd like for my jailers to be able to participate too. And so they had participated in communion. They'd become friends. And so there on the front row of his inauguration stood a sign of the kingdom of God. How else do you explain this other than God has brought fulfillment to his word? And so there he was on his inauguration day. And someone asked, who are those people on the front row? They are my friends. They learned later they were his jailers, but they were his friends now. A man of peace, of hope. You see, one of the things that we have difficulty with when it comes to hope is this. We have hoped in several different things, and sometimes they haven't come true. And we know what disappointment is. And I'm telling you the truth. You know, it's okay to hope for certain things. I was hoping that I could get well in this life, okay? And that was okay. That was all right. It's okay to hope that things will turn around economically. It's okay to hope that, you know, our children will come home. It's okay to hope these things. These are all good things. And you know what? As long as there is hope, we ought to be hopeful. One person said it like this. Be a Yogi Berra Christian. As long as you know there's hope, say it ain't over till it's over. And you keep fighting. But let me tell you this. If the worst happens, and for some reason or another, the doctor tells me that, you know what, you're not going to get better, and you need to make sure you made out your will, and that's it. Guess what? I still got hope. Because my hope is ultimately not in a thing or a circumstance, but in a person, in Jesus Christ. And because my hope is in Him, my future is secure. No matter what happens. Now, do I want to get well? Yeah, I want to get well. Would you like to have a better job? Yeah, you'd like to have a better job. Now, here's what the Lord is hoping for us, that we'll want what He wants, which is a more just and loving and forgiving world. And that more just and loving and forgiving world starts within our own hearts first, and then it works its way around our circle of friends and our family and our community and our world. And God wants us to hope for what He hopes for. Do you know I was at a retreat a couple of weeks ago? We had some nice little icebreakers, and one of them was this. We went around and we picked a little question, and then on the spot you had to answer this question. And my question was, what do you think God hopes for? I thought, wow, that's a pretty good question. And, you know, you could say anything. I wouldn't like to hear right or wrong answers. But it came to me just like this. I think God hopes that all His children will get along. You know what? There may be a better answer, and if so, that's okay. But, you know, I really think that's God's hope. And so that's what God wants me to hope. And here's the good news. The good news is simply this. His kingdom, every day, in a certain way, is breaking into the present. Each and every day, there's an advent of the coming of Christ into our world. Anytime forgiveness is given, reconciliation is reached, there's the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. We get a taste of it, we get a glimpse of it, we get a sign of it to come. But you know, the kingdom is both here and yet to come. And one day it will come in its total fulfillment. And so, you see, that's why as Christians, we always live with hope. Because our hope is in a person whose will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And not just one day, but it's being done every day as we join Him and what He seeks to do. You know, a good way to start today may be simply like this. Lord, open my eyes that I may see where You desire Your kingdom to break into this world today, and help me to be a part of it. And you'll be amazed at the little things that happen each and every day. And so hope for me is a gift. It is a gift that comes in a certain way. And here's the best way that it can come for me and the best way it can come for you. There is that voice that you can hear clearly within your own mind say, "You are mine. You are mine. Place your hand in my hand and trust me." And the more we do that, the more we become confident that our hope is well founded. Here's the difficulty. Trust has to be developed. My grandmother was a person of tremendous hope, but here's what I learned. She had to trust God over and over and over and over again for many, 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 many years for that trust to deepen and become real. But it did. But it had to start somewhere. It had to start somewhere by just doing a simple act of saying, "Yes, I will place my hope not in things, not in possessions, not in circumstances, but I'll place my hope in you, Lord." Just begin to do that today. And begin to trust Him for this day. And then tomorrow, trust Him for that day. And then another day, trust Him for that day. And then your confidence will grow. And then your faith will deepen. And then you know what? Someone will come to you one day and they will ask this question. There's something in you. What is it that allows you to be hopeful when sometimes your circumstances don't change? That'll happen. I don't know what your answer will be, but here's one of my answers. Hope is contagious. I just can be around certain people who have it, and I will get it. You need to hang around some good people. You know what? We are to affect people. A-F-F-E-C-T. We are to affect people. But what happens so often is we get around the wrong people and they infect us. When we are transformed, we affect others. But we need to preserve that sacred space and time where we are around people who are hopeful. That we fill our hearts with good news. That we read God's word. We sing His songs. That we fill ourselves up with the message of hope. And that's why we're here today. Because when we leave, we'll go to other places. But we can remember that here today, we were among people who have big, big hopes. Because they're God's hopes. The invitation is simply this. What is it in your life that you need hope for? Let's go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. My hope is going to be in you that these things may change. And I'm going to be a Yogi Bear Christian, but my hope is going to be in you." The invitation is, come forward. Polly and I would be glad to pray with you, to lead you to a more hopeful life in Christ. Let us stand.